utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow-restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And a very pleasant, good Saturday morning to one and all as we are now into Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Of course, our program driven by LongmineAuto.com. I'm Tim Miller in studio along with Dylan Sherwood as we get set to bring you the program this morning. Our guest here momentarily will be Emporia State Lady Hornet basketball coach Brian Osterman as he and his Lady Hornets get ready to head to Italy. What a great trip.
Huh, yeah. Dylan? They've been learning about Italy this past week. They've done some activities, and it's going to be a fun and exciting trip. And, you know, I've been checking in with the Lady Hornets this week and last week, and I like to see the team camaraderie get going. And, you know, this is a really critical stage where this team needs to learn themselves and start to gel. And then go from there, because it's going to be pivotal when October comes around in preseason.
All right. Well, without any further ado, let's bring in Coach Osterman, and we'll let him talk about this great trip. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys.
Well, man, heading to Italy, what a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for your basketball team. What a fantastic trip, huh?
We're excited about it, for sure. And I know the ladies I think the last couple of days have started to look ahead almost too much some days.
Well, that's certainly understandable. So how did all this come about?
Well, I think this started back when Coach Wynn was the coach. He started putting this together probably back in December, maybe even earlier. Typically, you plan these trips 6 to 12 months out. So it was already pretty much solidified when I was hired on the 1st of May, and I've just had to kind of pick up the pieces to make sure everything continued forward, quite honestly.
Well, we know that you leave on Monday, but just kind of give us a little brief synopsis of the itinerary. How long will you be there, and maybe some of the experiences you have? Plus, of course, you'll be playing some basketball too.
Yes, we'll get a couple games in, of course, and we leave on Monday, and we fly to Newark, New Jersey, and catch a bigger plane and fly over to Milan, Italy, and we'll spend 3 days in the northern part of Italy, in Milan and Lake Como, and take in some of those sites, and then we go from Milan to Florence. And then we'll spend 3 nights in Florence, Italy, and take in some of the sites that exist in the Florence area. I might add, at the first part of our tour up in Milan, we'll take in a sightseeing tour of the Last Supper.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of an exciting thing to they've got a a demonstration of the Last Supper that you can see, and that's a big thing over there from what I understand. And then when we'll see Lake Como up in that area, and then when we head down to Florence, we kind of have some time on our own. There's a place called the Santa Maria Novella, and there's a world-famous leather market. From what I can remember from our group last night, we had our team broken into four groups of three, and they each gave a review of a place we were going in Italy. And one of the groups had Florence, and all I can remember was food and fashion. Everything in Florence is about food and fashion, like leather gloves, leather slippers, The fashion is really big in Florence, and then, of course, there's famous restaurants. So we'll have time there. And then our last 3 days are spent in Rome, and we'll be able to see, obviously, ancient Rome and the Roman Colosseum. And then within Rome, we'll go to Vatican City. And one of the groups gave a presentation last night on Vatican City. And, of course, we'll be in St. Peter's Square, along with going to see the Sistine Chapel on our tour. And if we're fortunate enough, maybe the Pope will even peek out his head and wave to the crowd in St. Peter's Square. So lots of fun stuff. And then we'll play games in Florence and in Rome.
Well, these trips are so great. Obviously, just the experience of what the team is going to see, what you coaches will get to see, but you know, it certainly takes on kind of a double whammy here in that you're going to get a chance to play some basketball. Obviously, that's important as you continue to build this team. But man, what a great opportunity off the court for these girls to build relationships and become just a little bit of a more tighter group.
Yeah, for sure. I think the, you know, the on-the-court stuff, about 95 to 98% of that work was done the past 10, 12 days with our 10 days of practice. We have one day of practice remaining tomorrow. Today's a packing day, and for them to get all their things together before we leave early Monday morning. So all of that work with the basketball piece has pretty much been done, but the piece that you're talking about, the camaraderie piece, that started also 12 days ago with the practices and the grind of going through some two-a-days and spending some lunches and some dinners together, both, you know, with our own group and then with some boosters in the community have been outstanding. But the other half of that piece will be done over in Italy, where we'll travel from place to place on a bus together. We'll go to the sightseeing tours together. We'll have, you know, some meals together. And that ability to connect with each other in ways that, you know, only can be done through time, quite honestly. And when you're not on one of these trips, you got to really be dedicated to spending time together. And sometimes that's hard to do back here. So the trip will be exceptionally special to build that bond together, and what you're building is a knowledge of one another in perhaps likes and dislikes, but you're building a trust with one another, and I think that can carry on to the court and make your team that much more special.
Coach, I saw on Twitter, or X is what it's now called, I saw these four pictures with the team, you know, eating. I think it would have been the other night, but was that just kind of getting a taste of what some of the food your guys are going to be eating in Italy, and being able to have a team dinner, and you guys you had the phones away from them too. So what does that mean to kind of experience it here before going over there?
Well, that's part of the team building that you do during the grind of the 10 days of practice, so to speak. And we've had about a meal every day or every other day together. And, you know, to help them through and make sure we're getting a little bit of nourishment, because we certainly are pushing the envelope in terms of wearing them down with the multiple practices and back-to-back days, and some days two practices in a day, and to kind of start to build that camaraderie already with the group. You know, we put in at the very beginning of training camp a few guidelines for our players, if you will. And one of those guidelines is some places that we call no phone zones. So one of those no phone zone places that we started with my own family many years ago that we're asking our players to be conscious of is when we're having dinner together, that we don't have any phones out, that we're not distracted, that we're focused on building relationships with our teammates. in a different sort of way in today's world. You know, a lot of relationships can be built through social media and on a phone and so on and so forth. But I think the most genuine relationships are still those personal relationships that you have with your neighbor and with your teammate. And you do that intentionally, and putting the phone away from our locker room is a no phone zone. Obviously a basketball court is a no phone zone, and having dinner together is another no phone zone. So that's what you saw on social media is no phones. And I think it's working fantastic, and we're really building some strong bridges, strong relationships with one another.
We're visiting with the Lady Hornet basketball coach, Brian Osterman, whose basketball team will head to Italy on Monday for a fantastic trip. And Coach, I'm sure that these practices, these team gatherings have taken on some added importance because you brought in a pretty good-sized recruiting class, eight young ladies coming into your program. How have they meshed in?
Well, I look at it this way. I brought in a recruiting class of 15 because none of the returning players know Coach Osterman other than seeing a press conference, and then they pretty and we having one quick meeting the first part of May, and then they all left for the summer to go their own way. So really all these players are now players, I guess, if you will, that I recruited either back or to Emporia State, and we're excited to be able to have this extra opportunity that under normal circumstances you wouldn't have until August 17th when the players would arrive. But they came in end of July, and you know, we started preparation for Italy. So there's so many blessings that come with this trip. Certainly grateful for the supporters of the program that helped finance this trip starting well over a year ago, to the opportunity to bring these kids in early and prepare for the trip, because they get to know me, I get to know them. We get to spend time on the court where we're establishing a style of play that is new for all of them. It's been just really, really grateful to have this opportunity to have these extra 2 weeks at, and then the time in Italy. So really almost a month that we get that most new coaches in their first year at this level would not be getting. So it's worked out really, really well.
Coach, since I last talked to you guys on Tuesday, you guys have had a couple of practices since. How have those gone? And like you mentioned a little bit ago, you got one more tomorrow before you head off. Just how have things gone the last couple days for your group?
Yeah, Dylan, they've gone great, really. I thought we hit a wall earlier in the week, maybe Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And I know we had an open scrimmage. I think it was Tuesday. And we were kind of in the middle of hitting that wall, recovering from the first 5 days that were pretty brutal and intense. And Thursday and Friday practice days 8 and 9 were really, really much, much better. I feel like we got some of our legs back, and our focus was pretty good. And I really liked what I saw the last couple of practices. So I feel like we can take on, you know, the best teams in Italy come next week. We got one more final day to review everything tomorrow, and you know, let's bring all the pros on and see what we've done.
Coach, I need to squeeze in a break here. Are you okay to stick with us for a few more minutes?
Yeah, for
okay,
sure.
Okay, perfect.
Awesome.
All right, well, let's take a break, and we'll come back with more from Emporia State Lady Hornet Coach Brian Osterman. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LombineAuto.com.
Summer is winding down, but the savings are heating up at Longvine Auto Plaza with great offers on new Chevy and pre-owned models now. Get summer drive savings on new 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT Crew Cab models with Turbo Max engines, and get up to $7,000 off MSRP. And we have Silverado LTZ and RST models in stock too. Our qualified buyers can get financing as low as 3.9% APR up to 60 months. And remember, at Longbine Auto Plaza, our certified technicians will keep your vehicle in top running shape for those last-minute summer road trips. Now is a great time to get end-of-summer offers and incredible savings on new Chevy and Buick models. So come see us today or visit our website, longbineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. The University of Colorado has agreed to rejoin the Big 12 Conference starting in the 2024-25 academic year. The Buffaloes were one of the founding members of the Big 12 back in 1996, but departed for the Pac-12 in 2011. 12 years later, Colorado Chancellor Philip DeStefano thinks a return to the Big 12 will elevate every part of the university.
The Big 12 is very much a national conference. The national exposure that joining the Big 12 provides will shine a spotlight not only on our incredible student athletes, but also on our groundbreaking research.
The Big 12 welcomed four new members this summer in BYU, UCF, Cincinnati, and Houston. With the impending departures of Texas and Oklahoma next year, Colorado will then become the conference's 13th team. The Buffaloes are heading into their first season under head coach Deion Sanders. Their first game is September 2nd against future Big 12 foe TCU. You can hear that game on Westwood One. Care after their careers. That's next on This Week in the NCAA.
My ride smells just right, just right.
Y'all gotta try that for Breeze Carr.
With up to 40 days of consistent scent, all over Breeze Carr clips right on your vent. You know my car's my happy place. Keep that smile on my face. When it smells just right, just right, just right. Breathe happy for Breeze.
WICCO offers college athletes 2 years of post-eligibility injury insurance, which will start in August 2024 and will be available to athletes across all three divisions. The idea was recommended by the Division I Transformation Committee earlier this year. The coverage will last for 2 years after their college athletics experience and will cover injuries that occurred during their playing careers. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
All right, we're back on Saturday morning sports talk as we are talking off air with Coach Brian Osmond, talking a little football. Coach, you're kind of, sound like you're excited to get the football season rolling.
Oh, I love football, and it's exciting to hear the optimism that surrounds the Hornet football team and Coach Higgins, and I'm excited for them. Anytime you enter a season in the top 25, you're perhaps extra optimistic, if you will, and I'm looking forward to watching some Hornet football for sure.
Well, of course, I know, you know, with you being around K-State and their great football program and whatnot, boy, there's nothing like the buzz of a brand-new school year when you have a feeling that your football team is going to be pretty good.
For sure, you know, and certainly for K-Staters out there, Coach Klieman coming off a Big 12 championship, they're certainly optimistic, and Coach Higgins coming off that bowl win a year ago, lots of optimism, and of course you got the Kansas City Chiefs, so I mean, it's great to be a football fan right now around here, that's for sure.
Now, I know you may not want to hear this, but I do have to throw in a plug for my Jayhawks. They're getting better, Coach. They're getting better.
Well, they are getting better. They got a heck of a football coach that did some work up in Wisconsin in the same league where I went to college in. And so I think they're optimistic, too. And they got a great quarterback as well. So it's going to be fun to watch all the college sports teams around the area for sure.
Well, getting back to your basketball team, again, heading to Italy, leaving on Monday. I just wanted to get back to your practices and whatnot. Just talk about some of the things from a basketball perspective that you've liked, things you've seen so far.
Well, I really like how we're playing together. And that's really a prerequisite to getting on the floor for Coach O right here, is you got to learn how to play basketball together, and that's – that comes with sharing the basketball and making the right play. There's a lot of right plays that you can make in basketball, and one of them sometimes is the simplest play that for some reason gets to be pretty hard because players get maybe in the moment excited. They fall back to some old bad habits, and that's the simplicity of playing basketball with the open player. There tends to be an open man on the floor all the time, and the ball has to move to the open player to get the defense to move. I love how we're sharing the basketball, moving the basketball. I would say the second thing that I'm really excited and is starting to take hold is our defensive system. And our defensive system is primarily set on man-to-man. We haven't even put in a zone defense yet and won't until we get to the regular season. But we're going to be primarily a man-to-man defensive team, and that philosophy is taking hold. And that's another thing that has to be done together. You have to have a team defense. And I really like how we're doing some things in our defensive rotations that show me that we're playing defense together and everybody's locked in. So excited about those two parts of the game right now for sure.
Coach, I remember one of the practices I came out to, I think it was last week, and you brought up about taking charges, and there was I think three or four that you took. It might have been that first scrimmage, inter-squad scrimmage, but you know, how big is it that they sacrifice everything to try to draw the charge and try to get the ball back and be a part of that strong defense you guys have?
Well, that's kind of the back end of your defense. You know, you have to have rim protection, and that's usually at the basket where you take the most charges. And I think you need two things defensively that really excite fans on the defensive end. And one of those is blocking shots, and then perhaps the other one, maybe even more prominently, if you don't have a shot blocker, is young ladies that are in rotation that step in there and take a charge. So I think defensively, those are big plays that I think the fans and blue-collar fans that we have in Emporia that can rally around those taking charges. And then, you know, on offense, I think when you don't have the dunk that the men have in play, I think the next best thing is a great pass that leads to an open shot or a score, whether that be a layup or a wide-open three. So a great pass to an open player on offense and then taking charges on defense are two cornerstones of how we want to play to excite our fans and engage our fans. So hopefully when our fans come and see us, they see a whole bunch of them and they can go crazy a whole lot of times.
Coach, I know in reading that one of your priorities in recruiting was recruiting some shooters. Of course, this team did certainly struggle shooting the basketball last year. From what you've seen here early, do you anticipate this team being a fairly decent shooting basketball team?
Yeah, I think we've got a chance to be a really good shooting team. Shooting is a couple things. Number one, certainly we've got to recruit really good shooters, and we really improved our shooting with the recruits that we've brought in. We've got some very capable shooters. Aaliyah Bello, from a transfer from Lincoln University, shooting the ball really well. Allie Osterman, a transfer from Tabor College, is shooting lights out right now. And we've got some returning players that I believe are tremendous shooters. Katie is shooting, Hornyev is really shooting the ball well. Stevie Stitchcomb is really shooting the ball well. Faith Paramore is really shooting the ball well. So, you know, that second piece, you recruit them, but then you allow them the freedom to shoot the three, and you shoot it aggressively. And if they are good shooters, they will build confidence themselves because they'll see the ball going in the basket, and the sharing of the basketball comes back to that passing piece that we talked about earlier. But they're building tremendous confidence in a three-point shot right now, and it's going to be a major, major weapon for us. And I think the fans are going to be excited to see it. I'm certainly going to be excited to watch it all year. I think we'll shoot the ball very well. And in the event that we have a night or two, which is probably inevitable, that we might not shoot it as well as normal, we're going to really guard people on those nights because defense travels. and travels with you, and we'll be able to guard people on some of those nights that might not be going in as much as we'd like.
Moving from the perimeter to the inside, what do you feel about your play in the post?
Well, we don't have a lot of depth inside right now. It would probably be the biggest concern, quite honestly. We've got to get in better condition inside. We've got a couple inside younger players that are developing. Talia Wallace, a transfer from Kansas Wesleyan, is very, very capable of doing some big stuff for us. Christina Walsh has been playing post, has made big strides since her first couple years here. So we're optimistic, and we have one post player that we've signed from Latvia that's not with us yet, and she'll join us August 17th, a 6'2 post player. Flair is a transfer from St. Bonaventure out in New York, and I guess we won't know until she gets here exactly how she fits in as a piece, but having another piece to add to Christina and Talia will give us a little bit more depth there. And then we've, you know, I like to play with the center. I'm a little old school in that regard. I'm not a five guard coach yet, but we'll probably have to play five perimeter players occasionally, and we'll have to figure out some different wrinkles, both defensively and offensively for that. But I'm optimistic. Once we get in great shape and great condition, we ask a lot of our post players. They got to run a lot further than the guards. Every trip down, they're running rim to rim. You know, a lot of times guards only have to go from three-point line to three-point line.
Yeah.
So the game is a lot more rigorous for your post players. And but I like what I've seen in glimpses. We've got to get more consistent, and then we need that extra piece in Flerick from Latvia to get here in August.
Again, we're visiting with Emporia State basketball coach, women's basketball coach, Brian Osterman, as his basketball team will leave for Italy on Monday for a fantastic trip and hopefully some really good basketball. And Coach, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about local product Gracie Gilpin, just how she's fitting into the bunch.
You know, Gracie's doing a great job. She's one of those players that will give absolutely everything that she has. She can shoot the three, which is, you know, another reason we recruited her. She's knocking down a lot of threes in practice. You know, she's a young player yet, so there's the ceiling on Gracie is very, very high as she learns some different things. But the neat thing is you can already tell that she's been coached at a college level. You know, she comes from Cali Community College down in Arc City where they did a great job coaching her. And so she brings a little bit of experience, and she brings a lot of feistiness and heart. And then the fun thing, shoot, two of the things we talked about, she can pass the ball and she'll take charges. So I think she'll excite fans with her passing ability and her ability to step in front and take some hits. And of course, I think the fans like the other end of the pass, and that's knocking down threes. She can do that too. So she's going to have a big part in our team, and we're excited to continue to watch her grow.
Well, and to stay on the local front, you'll add one of her ex-teammates to the bunch next year in Addie Kermer.
Yes, I can't make any comments about any future Lady Hornets, you know, so I guess I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
We are excited for all our local kids that look at Emporia State. I think it's a big piece to the success of our recruiting is in-state recruits. So we've got three young ladies committed, and we look forward to the signatures that we get in November, and then I'd be thrilled to comment on each of those players.
Well, Coach, I guess one last question here. Season schedule, do you have it pretty well finalized, or are you still fine-tuning that?
It's pretty much finalized. We open with a big tournament with the men November 10th and 11th,
yeah.
I believe. It's Friday, first Saturday, second Friday, Saturday in November here at White Auditorium. So we'll host Henderson State and Harding University on the women's side, and Missouri Southern is our co-host, so to speak. And a year ago, they played that opening tournament down in Arkansas, and it's a crossover matchup. It's the last year of the crossover matchup with the Great American Conference. Henderson State, really solid basketball team, well coached, and Harding University has been one of the power teams down there. So we get out of the chute really early and really fast with that. And of course, MIAA action starts first semester. We get Washburn University as a home game, and we have a road trip up to two schools picked to finish near the top in Northwest Missouri State and Missouri Western. So we start out right away, so I guess I'm even more grateful for being able to have this month of time together with our basketball team. And we will always focus on us, but I know the schedule becomes something that, you know, the fans like to look down the road a little bit and get excited about. It's certainly a schedule with the home games that we have that can be really exciting to come out early to watch our basketball team and watch the men's team. Coach Doty's got a top 25 team coming back, and NCAA tournament made it to the second round. We're excited to watch him, and will really be fun for me getting back to my old MIAA days, and they're very much the same as the old days. We get to watch doubleheaders, so we get to encourage and root on for our men's team, and that'll be exciting. And then the fans get to see two games on one night, always at home here, and you don't get that in Power 5 basketball, so it's pretty special to be at this level.
Well, Coach, we certainly appreciate your time this morning. Have a great one last workout, and then have a fantastic trip to Italy. Can't wait to hear how things went.
Great. Thanks for having me on this morning. I look forward to sharing with you some of the sights and sounds of Italy when we get back. Thanks
okay.
a lot, guys.
Coach, safe travels.
I'll probably be looking at social media too, Coach. So I'll be retweeting, so have a good time.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Appreciate it, Dylan.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. Have a good day.
Okay, Coach Brian Osterman. Again, man, what a great opportunity for the Lady Hornets heading to Italy for a fantastic trip. Sounds like they'll have plenty of time to see the sights. And of course, I know there's some business there to take care of, trying to play some good basketball. But what a fantastic opportunity.
So. Yeah, and I believe the NCAA, you know, allows teams, I think it's every 5 years, to take a foreign tour trip. So but a great opportunity for this group, and especially with Coach O, you know, learning his new players, you know, his recruiting class. You know, he recruited the returners, and he recruited the eight that he brought in. And I've said this on the morning show at least a couple of times over the last couple of weeks when I've been able to go out. But I like what I see. I really do. I really do.
All righty. Well, we'll take our second and final break. We'll come back and head down the home stretch of this Saturday morning sports talk show. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Summer is winding down, but the savings are heating up at Longmine Auto Plaza with great offers on new Chevy and pre-owned models now. Get summer drive savings on new 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT Crew Cab models with Turbo Max engines, and get up to $7,000 off MSRP. And we have Silverado LTZ and RST models in stock too. Our qualified buyers can get financing as low as 3.9% APR up to 60 months. And remember, at Longmine Auto Plaza, our certified technicians will keep your vehicle in top running shape for those last-minute summer road trips. Now is a great time to get end-of-summer offers and incredible savings on new Chevy and Buick models. So come see us today or visit our website, longmineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
And welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk. Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood with you here in studio as we head down the home stretch of this sports talk. Just sticking with Emporia State for a minute, and off the court, Of course, we ran the story about the school record, 114 student-athletes that earned Division II Athletic Directors Association Achievement Awards. And in order to get that award, you have to have a 3.5 GPA in at least four semesters of college. So sounds like things going pretty well academically on campus as well.
Yep. Athletic Director David Spafford, you got to take care of business off the court and then in order to be successful on the court too. So, a lot of sports represented. So, it's not just one.
No, I think for almost every sport had at least multiple representatives. So congratulations to all 114, as plenty of student-athletes doing very well in the classroom at ESU. Some local notes on the golf front. Chesney Urkel qualifies for regionals of the drive, chip, and putt competition, finished second in the 12 to 13 age division at the Sum Regional. And I guess he goes to regionals when? Is that September 24th,
I think? Yeah, it's in September. It's late September, and it'll be in Castle Rock, Colorado.
All right. And then you have to win regional.
Yep.
Right, to go on to the nationals. Which
That's what Marcus told me.
Okay.
So I gave Marcus a call Wednesday after Aaron Harder let me know, because I was trying to look on the drive, chip, putt website to try to find the results. And after I got done talking to Marcus, then I was able to find everything. But Chesney actually did – he finished second, and he was only 2 points behind the winner. He had a score of 128, and the winner had 130 in his age division.
Yeah, Chesney did extremely well, obviously. And again, if he does win regionals,
chance
to move on to Augusta and compete in the nationals. So best of luck to Chesney Urkel. Another golfing note, Rick Eckert, congratulations to Coach Eckert, the Kansas Coaches Association Girls Golf Coach of the Year, obviously extremely deserving as his team last year finishes second in state, best finish ever. Mm-hmm. They also won the Centennial League for the first time in school history. So Coach Eckert, very deserving of that award. We just talked to his
daughter to Avery
last Saturday.
Yeah, he actually sent me an email on Monday about that, and he got the award on Monday. And I'm like, man, could have had you in here. We would have known that.
Absolutely.
But, congrats to Coach Ecker. I mean, I've worked with him. You know, he was a teacher when I was in school there, and, he's coached some really good golfers over the years.
Now, one basketball team that's already on their trip, Kansas Jayhawks, they're in Puerto Rico. They'll play their second game today, I believe, what, 5 o'clock?
4 o'clock in Peoria time.
And that's against the Bahama National team.
Yep, and that has current NBA players. When KU released that, Tim, they put the names that were going to be in there. So, like, Buddy Hield, DeAndre Ayton, Klay Thompson, Eric Gordon, a couple of big names. From listening to Brian Haney and Greg Gurley on Thursday, they were saying it's possible that they suit up. They're not exactly sure, but those were the names that KU released in their press release about the Puerto Rico trip.
Well, I'll tell you what, if all those guys play, this could be a long day for the Jayhawks.
And they play again Monday morning against them at 11 a.m. Emporia time. And I mentioned this yesterday, I believe, on the morning show, but I'm kind of wondering what Buddy Hield could do against a Phil Self coach team, because he dropped 46 in Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah, he did. I remember watching that game.
Wow. I was in Allen Fieldhouse that night, and I literally one of the best games I've seen in the Fieldhouse. And not to mention, Tim, that 15-16 year at KU, all the hype heading into that year was KU gets to host Kentucky. And that was the Big 12 SEC challenge. It was late January. And then all of a sudden, you get number one versus number two. Third or fourth day of January of 2016. way even before Kentucky even steps foot in Allen Fieldhouse.
Well, and I kind of hope that the NBA guys do play. I think it'll be good for Kansas. I mean, you're there to get better, and obviously these games don't mean anything. So you might as well play against some of the best. They can only make you better. So I kind of hope some of those guys
I agree.
Step on the court. Of course, their first game, no issue at all.
Nope.
Over the Puerto Rico select team, 106-71. Heard and read a lot of good things that came out of that game. Obviously, it's so early, but I think Coach Self and his kids got quite a bit out of that first game, and hopefully they'll just get better as they move forward. So the Bahama national team today, 4 o'clock our time. We will not have that, obviously.
We were when they announced that the Jayhawk Radio Network was going to carry the games, it came to the game times, and with all three games being where we have our local programming, of course, today with Royals, we just weren't able to get to all three of those. But they are streaming them on KUAthletics.com, and it's on KU Athletics Facebook page. They're streaming it with video too, so it was pretty cool to watch on Thursday and being able to pay attention still.
Well, no KU, but what we do have is the hottest team in Major League Baseball.
Oh my goodness!
The Royals. I don't know where this came from, but it's been fun. 7 straight. Sweep the Twins, sweep the Mets, head to Philly, win game 1-7-5 last night. Some history made in that game as Bobby Witt Jr. Becomes the first player in Major League history to hit 20 home runs and steal 30 bases in each of his first two seasons. They're playing really good baseball now. Obviously, it would have been nice to see this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I did tell our resident expert, Sean Thornton, at the Royals lead the way in the championship of the Central for August. They may win the division in August. It's nice to see him have some success. Obviously, it's been a very long, long season. Mm-hmm. But they are playing much better baseball. And, again, we'll have him on our airwaves later on today, 4:30 for pregame, and then 5:05 first mm-hmm. pitch. I believe it's Alec Marsh, on the hill today.
Yes.
So, yeah, we have Royals playing really good baseball right now.
Yeah, and they're getting everything, and it all starts with whoever's starting. I mean, Jordan Lyles got himself a little bit of trouble last night, but the offense was able to pick him back up. And then because I was paying attention to the game last night, and when they started the sixth and Michael Massey just crushed that baseball, I'm like, whoa. and then this is young guys doing this. And I was talking to one of my friends who I went to school with, and he said that he's glad that Dozier's gone, from El Reyes, and the Royals are just a different team right now. And it starts with these young guys.
Well, it's good to see him have some success because they certainly need to have something good happen this year because it's been a rough go. So, hey, enjoy it while it lasts. It's just fun to watch them play well, and hopefully they'll have a good rest of the month of August and continue into September and build some good momentum into next season. The Chiefs, by the way, training camp continues for them. They got our first week of reports are under our belts. We'll hear mm-hmm. from Mitch all the way until August 25th.
Yeah.
And Chiefs fine-tuning everything prior to getting their season started. The preseason, by the way, good grief, next week.
Yeah.
The 13th.
It's going to be here before we know it.
They'll play in New Orleans against the Saints. 11 o'clock pregame, a noon kick. Of course, you can once again hear Chiefs football right here on our radio stations, Country 101.7 FM. We'll have the Chiefs all season long. Trying to think of some notes out of practice. I know Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's running first team, continues to hold on to that spot. Of course, Isaiah Pacheco is limited, mm-hmm. had a hand shoulder surgery. I'm trying to think of some other notes. They had unfortunately, one of the D linemen will be out the first six
Charles
games.
Charles Amenihue, he He suspended the first six games of the regular season, violating the NFL's personal conduct policy.
Yeah,
and there's been some guys across the league that have been hit yesterday, especially in all those, and including Aminahue, getting hit with some suspensions. And now when the Aminahue news hit yesterday, everyone's like, when are the Chiefs going to get Chris Jones to the training camp and get that deal finalized?
Yeah, they need to get that done. They anticipate that it will get done. It's just a matter of time. Of course, it's very, very early. But, yeah, Aminahue will be out the first six games. This stems from an incident when he was back with the San Francisco 49ers. So, anyway. See what else here. I guess
I do have another note. Okay. Emporia State football players report today.
Okay,
training camp starts on Monday,
and our reports will start Monday.
Reports start on Monday with Blake Cripps, first day on Monday. So
I think we'll have 3 weeks of reports lined up, and we'll have those across all of our stations over the next 3 weeks as football is just around the corner. Of course, I guess we could visit just briefly. It sounds like the Pac-12 is pretty well done for, I'm afraid, as four teams are left. As you get news yesterday, Oregon and Washington head to the Big Ten, and confirmed last night that Utah and Arizona State voted in to the Big 12. Arizona was voted in on Thursday to the Big 12. Colorado, of course, already in. That will bring 16 teams to the Big 12 starting in the 24-25 season. Pac-12 right now left with Cal, Stanford, Washington State, and Oregon State. It'll be very interesting to see what happens with those four teams. Unfortunately for them, they're not exactly marketable teams in terms of now these big super conferences. I don't think they're going to draw much interest. And there's talk about a Mountain West potential alignment for those schools, but I know it's the way that that our world is now with all this realignment. But you hate to see it because traditional rivalries are lost, and it just I don't know you're going to be playing games from coast to coast. But anyway, that's life in college athletics now, and so the Big 12 will expand to 16 in 24-25. So.
Brett Yormark doing some good things, and I remember reading a report not even a week and a half ago that a source told Pete Thamel that the Big 12 would be searching to get to a 16-league team once they added Colorado, and lo and behold, happened last night. Well, it was official last night from the Big 12 with Arizona State, and Utah. Basketball's going to be fun, too.
Yeah, I think the Pac-12 was just holding on for just the slimmest of hopes that they could get a much more competitive TV deal, but that did not transpire.
Yeah, they were trying to go with Apple.
Yeah, they had a streaming deal from Apple, but it just wasn't enough. The Pac-12 is pretty much done for after all the realignment over the last week or
so. Well, instead of Pac-12 after dark, there's going to be Big 12 after dark when – all four of the former Pac-12 schools join the Big 12 because then you're gonna have early football with the East Coast teams, with West Virginia, Central Florida, Cincinnati, and then you got everyone that's still in the Big 12 that's in the Central Time Zone. Then you got all the guys in the Mountain Time Zone, BYU as well.
You're gonna have four time zones.
Everyone going to have to adjust their schedule to watch a lot of Big 12. And I mean, it's going to be interesting to see KU, K-State play late night football or even late night basketball. It's going to be fun. But
I'm glad I'm not in charge of trying to schedule all this stuff. But it's going to be interesting to watch. So really the only last note I had, if you're wanting to get some basketball in with a good camp, Jackie Stiles basketball camp over in Chase County on Wednesday, August 9th from 1 to 3, grade 7 through 12. $55 for the camp. If you need some information, I know they have it on the USD 284 Chase County School Facebook page. Jackie Stiles, of course, her name's synonymous with basketball in this state. But, she'll have a camp midweek in Chase County.
Yeah.
So I think that will wrap it up. We're a little past our time. Great to visit with Coach Brian Osterman.
Yeah.
Safe travels to him, his staff, and his team as they head to Italy on Monday. Fantastic trip. And hopefully get some good sightseeing in and some good basketball. And we'll be eager to hear once they get back of how of how that all went. So I think that'll wrap it up for us, Dylan. We're done.
Yeah. Also, I hadn't brought this up, but I saw this earlier this week. But Emporia High Football is having a fundraiser and a meet and greet with Coach Glensman, Caden Glensman, on Wednesday at Gambino's.
Okay, very
good. 5 to 8. So
5 to 8.
I saw that on Facebook. I probably wanted to mention it now and then probably give it another mention coming up early next week.
All right.
Get a chance to meet Coach Glensman before the Spartans start August 14th.
All right. So, 5 to 8 at Gambino's on Wednesday the 9th. Well, that will do it for us. Another edition of Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Again, thanks to our guest, Coach Brian Osterman, Lady Hornet basketball coach. That'll do it. Have a great Saturday. Have a great rest of your weekend. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Live and local, 1400 AM KVOE Emporia, 96.9 FM K245 BQ Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The U.S. says Iran has twice tried to seize oil tankers in the Persian Gulf this year. Pentagon's now considering a plan to put armed Marines on some commercial ships as they travel through the Strait of Hormuz. ABC's Ike Ajachi has more from Washington.
In what's considered an unheard-of action aimed at stopping Iran from harassing civilian vessels, the U.S. military is planning to place armed personnel on commercial ships traveling through the Strait of Hormuz. Now, recently, Iran has seized or harassed a number of ships in the Persian Gulf area.